We're looking this week at a series on the creation out of Genesis chapter 1. Let's pick up on day number 2 of the 6 days of creation.
Well, let's move on now into day number 2, Genesis 1, and look at verse 6. Here we see the firmament, or that which could be called an expanse. Now let me explain. This was like this canopy that was around the earth on day number 2. And you may say, well, what's the significance? There is no such a canopy around the earth today. What's the importance of the fact that there is this canopy around the earth? Let's read it in verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament or an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which are above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. Now, isn't that something? That there was this firmament and there was water below and above it from what we understand from reading this passage. We know that's not the case today. But you know, when we talk about the Genesis flood next week, perhaps we'll see that that is the answer for all the major questions that we see the atheists and the evolutionists and all those that reject God when they say, how do you explain all these fossils, all these millions of fossils of dinosaurs and plants and what have you? It must be millions of years that we've had this earth here. But no, when you examine that Genesis flood, you see that it covered the face of the earth 22 feet above the top of the highest mountain. Therefore, the pressures and the tremendous, you've never seen a storm like the days of Noah. The pressure that would have been upon the face of this earth, the mudslides, etc., it would have caused tremendous amounts of pressure and fossilization. That's where we would trust all these fossils come from. So how does that tie in with day 2 of creation? Well, the water come from somewhere, didn't it? That expanse, that great body of water is not above us today, is it? My suggestion, and we'll find out in glory one day if this is exactly right, but my suggestion is this, from what, again, some of the Christian scientists have come up with this as their reasoning through the Bible, that expanse would have been the water that God sent through in that tremendous flood in the days of Noah. It's not there now, but we know that God has said that there has been a great deluge. The entire face of the earth was covered. And God could have sent that water any way he desired to. This is a suggestion. But we see here that God created that firmament for some reason. And we see that firmament was there. And of course, before the flood, that's when people lived so long. Can you imagine people living 600, 700, 800, 900 years? Well, there's a couple of reasons. One, when this firmament was around the earth, that would have had a total different situation. The atmospheric conditions would have been different. Therefore, as far as the sun penetrating and all of this, the entire earth would have seemingly been of primarily one subtropic climate. That's why you find fossils that make no sense to be on the North Pole. Up at the Arctic Circle, you find fossils of things that would seem like they ought to be in South America. Because at one time, there was this great expanse. And because of that, dinosaurs would have been able to live. That would have been perhaps why man was able to live longer. But you know, the sin question has a lot to do with why men live longer. See, as Adam fell from the first sin, you see that Adam was a tremendous specimen. As God created him, he was able to name all the animals, if you read in Genesis 2. He was a tremendous specimen physically and mentally. But as the generations went by, and here we are at the bottom, if you might want to call it, the bottom of the genetic junk pile. We have had sin for centuries. Most fundamental scholars, by studying the genealogy of the Bible, would suggest that the earth would be between 6 and 10,000 years old. So if you go back to Adam, you're talking thousands, not millions, but thousands of years of sin. Inherited sin. Did you know that you inherited your sin from Adam, the first man on the earth? Not only that, but God says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not only have we inherited sin, but we do sin. So, for these reasons, man does not live 900 years at a time any longer. So we see the different climates, and we see, of course, the big question, the big subject being sin. Sin, well, there's a price to pay for sin. When we see in Genesis, as we go through here, let's move on to verse 9 in day number 3. And by the way, as you're looking at day 3, when we talk about the flood, it's interesting that people say, well, the Grand Canyon, that must be, as the evolutionists would say. Well, how many of you young people have ever seen a picture or a video, I've got one at home, of the great, I see a couple raising their hands, of the great, of the Grand Canyon. I believe that's in the Colorado area. Tremendous. One of the great wonders of the world. But the answer to the evolutionists of the Grand Canyon is, those layers and layers and layers would not have come from millions of years of evolution. But again, I believe we see a result of the great flood in Noah's day. Because think back just 20 years ago when that great volcano erupted, Mount St. Helens erupted. And just in our lifetime, most of us remember that. And yet, it left sediment and layers from that volcano eruption that mimics the Grand Canyon. So we know that it doesn't take millions of years to have layers of sediment, and therefore the Grand Canyon is another embarrassment, if you will, for the evolutionists, just like Mount St. Helens was an embarrassment to the evolutionists. Well, I keep on wanting to stay on the flood. I'm going to take my whole message for next week, but let's move on to day 3 and verse 9. We see, and God said, as we see here, the land and the sea and the plant life were created on day 3. You see, the sun has still not been created. The land, the sea, and the plant life. Well, notice here in verse 9, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. Now let's stop there. He'll mention in verse 11 about the herb yielding seed and the various plant life, but we have mentioned here that God called this place we live on earth. Now that sounds simple, but think of this, young people. Think of this, that even the atheist that rebukes the thought of God, they have to live by the very established rules of nature, if you will, that comes from God. They will generally call the place that we live earth, won't they? Well, here's the very place it comes from. God said, this is the earth. You know, we'll probably mention this in a few moments if we have time, but there's other things that the atheist, like it or not, they have to live by. The atheist cannot go up into the orbits of space and change the orbit of the earth around the sun. The atheist cannot go up into space and change the earth on its axle spinning around tens of thousands of miles an hour. Therefore, they have to, just like you and I, they have to live by a 24-hour day, don't they? So whether they reject God or not, whether they accept God as the creator or not, they have to live by God's order. And we're not saying that to be sarcastic. We're saying that this is a tremendous testimony of God, that, as the scripture says, it rains on the just and the unjust. Whether you acknowledge God or not, there are certain things that you cannot change. You cannot change that a year, it will take the earth to orbit around the sun as God sets things in order. 365 days and a fraction of another day, to count the leap year. We see God set that in order and nobody can change it. We all live by the calendar of God. So as we see in day 3, God called this place earth. But verse 9 also, we see, if you will, that it speaks about how let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. Now, if all the waters were together, and all the land were together, then what do we have today? We have, young people, what is 7 continents that we have? It's not what we have in day 3, is it? Again, I'm not a scientist. I get a suggestion. But with the flood, once again, with the tremendous changes that came after that flood, perhaps that's where the suggested continental divide came. You know, some people have played with the idea of putting on a map of the different continents would fit together in a nice little fit way. Well, again, the Lord knows, and maybe one day in glory we'll know whether that's what happened. But here it speaks about the land we're together. The water was in one place. Something happened to divide the water and to divide the land. I suggest the Genesis flood. So anyway, God's the authority, and the Lord willing, will be enlightened to these things even greater in glory. So just to tie that thought in together, it even tells us in the book of Psalms that the Lord spoke about how he would hold back the waters, that the waters would not go beyond its borders. Well, what does that mean? It's just like the promise God gave to Noah that he had never given a worldwide flood again. You see, even the book of Psalms gives testimony to the fact that this earth will never again have a worldwide flood. So we see that things have changed in one sense since creation. They have changed in the sense of how the water and the land are laid out on the face of the earth. Now in day 3 also, if you'll notice with me, in verse 11, we see this little phrase when it talks about the plant life. Think of the plant life. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it goes on in verse 12, speaking about other things that were created after its kind. Now this is very important. This is very foundational to the teaching of creation, that plants and animals are reproduced after its kind. Well, Lord willing, we'll pick up that point tomorrow. Thank you for being with us. If you have any questions or concerns, please call us at 824-5525 or write us at P.O. Box 689 in Ramsor, zip code 27316. That is P.O. Box 689. All requests for tapes are free. We'd be thrilled to hear from you on the phone if you have any questions or concerns. Join us next time at 1 o'clock with the Two Roads and Two Destiny Radio Ministries.